Today is our annual New York Times show.
And at 3:15, we feature a segment on the fast-growing travel segment. It's all about going to Mexico for much cheaper care.
At 3:20, we take you to the Atlantic coast of Canada, Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, and Labrador.
At 3:35, we introduce you to a man who sells pickpocket-proof pants.
And at 3:40, say that three times,
yeah.
Fast, Thomas, and at 3:40, we make a quick trip to Tahiti to visit the South Pacific.
And finally, at 3:50, we end our travels with a visit to Alabama, where civil rights history is only part of the story.
With interviews from the New York Times Travel Show in the Big Apple and the National Tour Association Convention in New Orleans, live from Key Largo and Sacramento. It's a special edition of The Travel Guide.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano in studio right here next to Cal Expo, where the big home show's going on. Almost didn't get here. Very, very busy. Mark is in Key Largo, and unfortunately, what hotel you're staying at just seems to have, you know, some internal phone issues. We were hoping to get you on one of those fabulous landlines, but instead, we're going to have to rely on Mark's fabulous cell phone. Mark, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing okay. We just finished watching a spectacular sunset here in Key Largo, Florida, and on my way, I'm on a 19-day road trip, and the last 4 days are spent in Key West. So there are worse ways to wrap up a long journey, that's for sure.
Boy, you've been all over the place. We're going to have an interview during this hour that Mark taped while, were you in Alabama?
We were actually in New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
Tour Association Convention.
And then off to New York.
And then off to New York for the New York Times travel show, at least for the press day part of it on Friday, where we gathered what I think is a really wide variety of entertaining interviews. If you were listening to the headlines there, we've got everything from pants that will keep you from being pickpocketed overseas to Tahiti to Alabama to and Canada. Gosh, Tom, Canada is just on sale right now. The U.S. dollar is so strong that the dollar against other countries, if you're going to go travel, this might be the summer to do it, because Canadian dollar, the euro, the pound, with the economy in the United States being at this point perhaps the strongest in the world, the currency exchanges are reflecting that, which makes it a very good time to buy products from other countries. It's not so good for them coming here. It may have a negative impact on U.S. travel. But for folks who want to travel to foreign countries, this might be the time. And the other thing is that you might, if you're looking at pricing for a trip to a foreign country, you might just go back and say, hey, if they're paying in euros and the agreement is in euros, there's a pretty good chance that there might be a price break coming somewhere along the way. But anyways, all of that, lots of stuff today, lots of really good stuff on the Travel Guide.
And specifically, we'll be talking in depth about traveling to Canada coming up at about 3:20, so keep it here. All right, let's fire up the band and bring on Mark with the start of the program, as we always do, a look at what's going on in the travel news, always something new just about every week. Mark, what do you have for us this week?
Well, a lot of this stuff is kind of locally based this week. If you were reading the Sacramento Bee, you know that finally, after a number of years without a hotel at Sacramento International Airport, we're going to move back into the big leagues again. A Hyatt Place Hotel, 135-room hotel, which will be about the same size as the old Host Hotel that used to be out at the airport, has been agreed upon and contracted for. It'll be about 2 years in the making. We'll provide some much-needed revenue for the airport, and we'll provide folks with a place to stay who are, you know, you've got that early morning flight with that 3 o'clock wake-up call, and you live in Placerville or Auburn or someplace like that. The alternative of being able to stay at the airport, I think, is a good one. Of course, right now there's lots of hotels close to the airport, but having a hotel on property is really kind of something that designates a major league airport. So we should have one in Sacramento. It'll take about 2 years for that to happen. Uber and Lyft has been in the news almost every day this week, Tom, on On Friday, the Department of Motor Vehicles decided that if you are going to haul somebody around in your car and mm-hmm. make money off of it, you have to have a license plate. And then this morning, Saturday morning at 12:01, the California DMV released a press release that said, basically, never mind.
Really?
Uber and Lyft had already worked out some things with other state regulators regarding insurance, and so the Department of DMV said this week that Uber and Lyft drivers would have to have a commercial license. Now they have backed off of that and said that talks are ongoing, so we'll see what happens there with all of the Uber and Lyft stuff. I guess all the most important thing is that the public is protected and that folks are properly licensed and stuff like that, so we'll keep you updated as that story develops. Eastern Airlines is, remember Eastern Airlines, Tom?
I do. It's been a while.
Well, someone has bought the name, and Eastern Airlines is hoping to launch charter flights, which would make it similar to Allegiant Air, which flies currently out of Stockton in March and hopes to have regular passenger service by the end of the year. We'll see. I've contended here for a few months that there's a pretty good chance we're going to see some new airline startups, especially if the fuel prices remain low, because with one of the main prices, cost of doing business, going down, it's entirely possible that when the cost of business goes down and demand is high, it usually means that you are about to get some new competition. And finally, I wanted to call folks' attention to, we had on last week's program, Chris Elliott, who is a syndicated columnist in both USA Today and in the Sacramento Bee. His column appears in the Sacramento Bee this Sunday, and it happens to be a little bit about, today's column is a little about somebody who got a Hotwire hotel in the blind and then found out that Hotwire on their site rated this hotel 3 stars one place, and 2.5 stars another place. And you can read Christopher's column and get the entire story in the travel section of the Bee today. But the one thing I really wanted to point out after seeing this today, Tom, mm-hmm. to people was, if you're using those opaque third-party hotel sites where you don't know what the hotel is, they're showing you a neighborhood or they're giving you a rating, that rating is very objective. That's their rating. And it's in their best interest to take a 2-diamond hotel or a 2-star hotel and make it into a 3-star hotel. So if you are buying in the blind, you best be somebody who's comfortable staying in just about any accommodation in any neighborhood, because I have never heard any stories from people who bought something on Hotel.com or Priceline or Hotwire in the blind and found out that they were staying in a 5-star hotel and they'd only paid for 3. Just doesn't happen.
Yeah, it never gets better. It's only going to get worse.
It's way better off to pay a little bit more and know where you're going, because if they can't sell it to you at a fair price by telling you where you're going, then do you really want to stay there?
Yeah, not me.
Not me. Anyway, that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark is in Key Largo. Mark, I know we're going to be covering a lot of stuff going on at the New York Times Travel Fair. Before we take the break and begin our series of interviews, tell us a little bit, for those that may be catching this for the first time, this is our third show that we've had from the New York Times Travel Fair. Tell folks a little bit about what it is.
Tom, it's one of the biggest travel shows in the country. It's one of the biggest travel shows on the planet. It's a place where people and destinations and products come to see and be seen. If you're at the New York Times Travel Show, it kind of designates that you're somebody or that you're trying to be somebody to get noticed. So I go in there on the press day and walk the floor, look for interesting destinations. We've got everything from the growing tourism market in medical tourism, particularly in Mexico, to how easy it is to get to Tahiti, and some great stuff about Alabama, and even those pocket-proof pants that you talked about earlier. So it's going to be a great program. Don't touch that dial or go anywhere.
Keep it here. We are the Travel Guys.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops all over the world.
We are the Travel Guys, the Travel Men. Here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Follow us at TravelGuysRadio.com. All the subjects that we're talking about on today's show, as well as podcasts of past shows. Well, Mark, we're going to start off with an interview that Mark captured at the New York Times Travel Show. It's a new category that's becoming more and more popular. It's actually referred to as medical travel. Let's see what Mark has.
Tom, I'm here again at the New York Times Travel Show, and I'm with Carlos Arceo. Carlos is with the Mexican Council for the Medical Tourism Industry. He is the president. Carlos's company helps folks who want to go from the United States for elective surgeries or non-elective surgeries to be able to set up both the medical treatments and the places to stay in a variety of locations in Mexico, right? Is that right, Carlos?
That's right. Well, as you know, Mark, we have Mexico receive 23 million tourists and 9 million every year, and 9 million from the United States and Canada. And this is the first time that we are promoting Mexico as a medical destination. So this is a great opportunity for your audience to know that now they can have an option to get any vacation and do any medical treatment during their vacation.
Now, this is a particularly attractive to folks who are looking for a lower cost alternative, because in Mexico, many medical treatments are lower cost. And before we started the interview, you told me that in some cases, people's insurance companies may have an arrangement with a Mexican treatment facility that may help them, but in either respect, it's going to be much less expensive.
You're right. Well, as a matter of fact, we have a couple insurance company who they already work with Mexico. Like, can I mention the companies?
Absolutely.
Like MedLife or insurance or Sigma. They already work already with Mexican hospitals, especially by the border and some leisure resort destination in Mexico, like in Puerto Vallarta. So I hope now with the new free trade a renegotiation, I hope the high-level negotiation with the Mexican and American government can permit the American company's insurance can do business with the Mexican companies.
Now, we're talking about a variety of things, everything. You mentioned resort destinations because many people come to Mexico for plastic surgery or for dental treatments or things like that, things where they might want to get away for a little while and combine perhaps a vacation with some type of elective medical treatment.
Yeah, you're right. Now the people, they can combine their vacation with any medical treatment, because mostly the people, they don't know that Mexico can offer the same quality as United States, but the only difference is the price. We have the same surgery room like in New York or like in Chicago or like Houston. We have the same. Even I can tell you that many Mexican doctors, they've been invited by American hospitals to come and as a doctor. And that means that the American hospitals, they trust in the Mexican talent hands.
That the quality of the care is equal.
Yes.
You can go to travelguysradio.com, and we will have a link to Carlos's website, mexicoforhealth.com. And Carlos, thank you for a few minutes of your time today and for helping our listeners understand that this is not something anymore that's really under the table. This is really a big industry. A lot of people are taking advantage of this option, and there are now companies like yours that are planning these trips and helping folks be able to plan this, so that I can only imagine if you were really ill, or even if it was just elective surgery, that this would be a lot easier to have somebody who knew the professionals on the other end.
Well, let me tell you, according with the Mexican Tourist Board, Mexico received last year more than 1 million American patients to get any medical treatment in Mexico.
Wow. Carlos, thank you so much for your time. It's mexicoforhealth.com. Tom, we'll be back at the New York Times Travel Show in just a moment.
Yes, we will. And now let's think about traveling. Let's go north instead of Mexico. Let's think about going north, in fact, beyond the United States, and travel to some place where, believe it or not, hard to believe, you're going to find this amazing, that there is a place where the American dollar is actually worth more. Check this out.
Tom, my next guest is Richard Arnold. Richard is with Atlantic Tours, and he's here part of the Canadian contingent at the New York Times Travel Show. And Richard, really, Canada is on sale. The Canadian dollar has fallen against the U.S. dollar to the point that a U.S. dollar today, if you went into a bank and got a real exchange rate, you'd get $1.24. So what that really means is that Canada is 24% off as we sit here today, and it's been kind of getting cheaper almost by the day. Are you seeing an upbeat in the number of U.S. citizens coming to Canada?
Well, we found last year that we had some great increases. We saw some growth, and we're very encouraged by the fact that we're on sale. This is our booking season that's just starting right now in the first quarter, so I haven't been able to go back and check stats because I've been on the road at a couple other travel shows, but I'm very encouraged that with us being on sale, that the numbers will continue to increase.
Richard and I were just, Tom, at the National Tour Association convention in New Orleans, and in fact flew up here on the same plane yesterday to New York City. And Richard is known as the man in the kilt at NTA, and he is in a kilt. Of course, you can't see it today, but it's probably just as well here at the in New York. Richard, you represent the Maritime provinces. You're a tour operator who has tours all over the Maritimes, but you're here as part of the Maritime contingency today. I'm guessing most of the visitors to the Maritimes come from the eastern part of the United States, but when folks come from the West Coast, I'm guessing they stay longer. It costs more money to get there. Give me some idea of some of the favorite tourist attractions for Western visitors, for folks who have a little bit more extended stay in Eastern Canada.
Sure. I mean, what we specialize, as you said, the Maritime provinces, but even more importantly, Atlantic Canada, because Newfoundland and Labrador makes us all of Atlantic Canada, where the Maritimes are just the three Maritime provinces. We have great offerings, guaranteed departures there, and what people come to see, along with our seafaring heritage and our great seafood, is, of course, the Bay of Fundy. We have the Bay of Fundy, where you have the highest tides in the world. The difference between a low and a high tide is over 50 feet.
Wow.
They enjoy that experience, but it's, you know, similar to a four-story building. So you imagine every 6 hours and 13 minutes, that four-story building going away, and then 6 hours and 13 minutes later, it's back.
Now, did I not hear that there is a new ferry boat back from Portland, Maine, that goes over to Nova Scotia? We didn't have any ferry service for a while. Now we have some ferry service. So tell me a little bit about that.
We have a brand new boat that started operating last year called the Nova Star, and it departs from Portland, Maine, and goes into Yarmouth, Nova Scotia. So once again, talking about value, as you know, airfares into Canada can be a little more expensive than Americans are used to. So you can do a nice airfare into Portland, Maine, or Boston's just down the road, and you do the overnight boat, so you can travel while you sleep. It's got full cabins, entertainment, gaming, and 10 hours later, you arrive in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, where you can begin your vacation. So it's always great to travel while you sleep. On the reverse, you can do a nice day trip at sea.
Tom, our guest is Richard Arnold with Atlantic Tours. He is from Atlantic Canada, Nova Scotia particularly. We're talking about the fact that Canada is kind of on sale because of the exchange rates have taken I'm sure this has something to do with the price of oil, has taken some fairly dramatic shifts here just recently, allowing U.S. visitors to Canada to get a premium on their dollars when they go north of the border. And we're talking about some of the destinations. You mentioned, Richard, Labrador and Newfoundland. Now, there's probably an awful lot of people who are listening to this right now who might not be able to find Labrador and Newfoundland on a map. But tell us a little bit about what those destinations offer visitors.
Well, it's the most easterly point in North America. It's where the sun comes up first. And I always like to sell it as the Alaska of the East. We have those icebergs in the spring, we have the whales, we have those beautiful little puffin birds, we have the moose, there's more moose than people, and it's a truly authentic experience. I mean, you're in communities of 200 and 300 people, and in fact, our tour company, we have the whole hotel. They're very family-owned. You get all the amenities of a major center, but you're going to get to taste local dishes like the caribou, like the moose. Those are all available to you.
I assume they're dead when you taste them.
They are dead. But you'll see, I'd be very surprised you didn't see some live ones on your travels. But we have three UNESCO World Heritage Sites there. Of course, long before Columbus, you had the Vikings. So you have Lanso Meadows. You also have Grossmoor National Park with the Tablelands, and it's one of the only spots in the world where you can pick up and hold in your hand a piece of the Earth's mantle. That whole mountain is located with nothing growing on it. That is the Earth's mantle. Pretty spectacular.
Wow, that's really cool.
It's also are phenomenal and just a great loving people, and you won't be disappointed. And we get a lot of West Coasters that come because it is a perfect two-week destination as well. You can tie the whole region together into a nice 14 to 20-day trip.
Now, you mentioned these small towns, and probably this is a point in time when people are saying, gee, Atlantic Canada sounds like a place I want to visit. Of course, you can go independently, but one thing you have to be careful of is that when you get out into some of these fairly isolated regions, especially not so much in Nova Scotia, you're within a stone's throw of a hotel a couple hours at any point. But when you get out to Newfoundland or Labrador, hotels are not plentiful. And the tour company might have the only hotel in town locked up, so it might be good if you were with the tour company.
Well, and also when you're dealing with the, to compare Newfoundland and Labrador, it's the size of California, land size. So imagine trying to do California just all on your own without some help to get around. And you're, I mean, we don't want you traveling after dusk. More moose on the highways than, you know.
To get to Labrador now, that requires, Labrador is not, Newfoundland is one jump, and then Labrador is another jump. Tell us just a little bit about how people visit Labrador.
Well, to visit Labrador, you have to go in by ferry if you're coming from Newfoundland, because Newfoundland is an island. So there's a two-hour ferry that brings you over to Labrador. We go up to Red Bay, which is the third UNESCO World Heritage Site, and you learn about the Basque whalers. But there's some great gems on the Labrador side. And in fact, the Trans-Labrador Highway is now opened, and you definitely wouldn't want to do that without doing an escorted program, because you're in the wilderness. You're in untouched, beautiful wilderness.
We haven't even talked really much about Prince Edward Island, which is another place that is really unknown to people on the West Coast, which is a beautiful little 3 or 4 day destination on its own. The coast of New Brunswick, the Gaspé Peninsula up in Quebec. Richard, we'll put a link on travelguysradio.com, so if you'd like to know more about Atlantic Canada, why, we'll put a couple links up there, and we'll put a link to Atlantic Tours. Tell us just for a minute, you've been a tour operator for a while in this part of Canada. What's the advantage to folks who haven't been to Atlantic Canada before, a package tour over maybe an independent travel?
Well, I think part of the experience is knowing what it's like to live there. I mean, you can go and drive around on your own, and you're going to see a lot less because you're going to get tired by 3 in the afternoon and see half of what you should see. An escorted program will give you all that flexibility, but you learn about what it's like to live there. You get to not miss any of the must-sees. How disappointing to go back home later and learn that you really should have visited this particular site. I mean, who wants to come to Nova Scotia and not visit Peggy's Cove or the world-famous Cabot Trail or Prince Edward Island? I mean, everyone loves Anna Green Gables. Every little girl knew about Anna Green Gables, and you know, it's a beautiful patchwork quilt of colors, that island. You know, it's a rolling farmland and beautiful beaches, all that beautiful red sand.
So perhaps it's a difference between going out there on your own and hoping that you'll meet the right people, or going out with somebody who will take you to meet the right people.
That's right, and we are specialists there. If you really want independence, we can do that for you. We do self-drives. Now, we don't reinvent the wheel. Our escorted programs are so excellent that we just take those and remove components that don't make sense in an escorted program.
So somebody could go to your website who was not necessarily interested in traveling by motor coach and could still get a package that would allow them to have hotels. And
in fact, I encourage it. I mean, and one of the things I encourage is, why not choose the same departure date as an escorted tour? You have the added benefit every night. There's a tour manager from our company at the hotel should you have any needs or questions.
Ooh, Richard, that's a really slick trick I hadn't thought of. Buy a fly-drive package and shadow the tour,
right,
kind of along the way.
Exactly.
You'd have an extra person to help you. Richard Arnold from Atlantic Tours, Tom, has been our guest here at the New York Times. We'll be back with more from the New York Times Travel Show right after this break.
We are the Travel Guys. News is coming up next, and then all about pickpocket-proof pants. Try saying that 3 times, or you're going to love these. Next on the Travel Guys. This is our New York Times Travel Fair radio program brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, along with Mark Hoffman. Welcome to the program, everybody. You know, coming up, we're going to be taking you to Tahiti, and then later on, off to Alabama. But one of the things you want to do no matter where you travel is to be safe, and the things that you take with you, safe. So let's join Mark at the New York Times Travel Show with an interview about clothing designed to help protect your stuff.
Tom, we're back at the New York Times Travel Show. I always try to pick out one or two folks here who have something really, truly unique for travelers that maybe I haven't seen before. And Adam Rapp is here. He's from Brooklyn. He has pickpocket-proof clothing. Adam, explain to the folks in Sacramento quickly here, and we'll put a link to your website on at travelguysradio.com. Tell folks what pickpocket-proof pickpocket-proof, you already told me this was going to be hard, clothing
Mark,
is about.
Mark, it's difficult to say, but it's even more difficult to get into. What we do is we build the equivalent of 4 money belts into every pair of pants, so we put security back into the hands of the traveler. It's all about giving you options. You choose how secure and where you want that security on your person.
4 money belts are built into every piece?
It's really 6 to 7. We have every pair of pants has 6 or 7 multi-secure pockets. One is going to be triple secure. The rest are going to be at least double secure. There's going to be pockets for your smartphone. This is going to be cut-proof pockets, expandable pockets. It's all about giving you that option. So we're going to allow you to put items on your person. You're not going to have to carry a wallet around. You're going to be able to spread it around your body. And it's going to prevent pickpocketing.
And these items of clothing are how much more expensive than regular clothing?
They're about $20 to $30 more than high-end hiking pants. But again, if you did the math, let's say we go with the four money belts idea, about $20 a money belt. So that's four money belts. So you're at $80. The highest-end pair of pants that we make is $110. So then we're basically giving you a pair of pants for $30.
And if you've ever been pickpocketed before or had something fall out inadvertently or something like that, then it reverts to priceless in terms of value.
That's exactly what we say. It's priceless peace of mind. It pays to be prepared. There's 30,000 pickpocket-proof pants walking the world, and we've knowingly stopped 12 pickpockets. That's with a customer just riding in and telling us that someone's hand got caught in the cookie jar.
You have a variety of different pants. You've got both short pants and long pants, and I was kind of feeling them beforehand. They're kind of like cargo pants in kind of a way.
It's travel wear for the 21st century, so everywhere that you look on the garment, it's going to be upgraded. The fabric is the most important part. That's going to mean that you're going to wear it after the travel. You might buy it for the feature, but it's going to do more than any other travel garment. So what we use is something called nature-like nylon. It's an upgraded version of nylon that's both breathable and comfortable. It's not the plastic bag nylon that you might be used to. So it's a four-season weight on all of our products. So you can wear it from 100 degrees to below freezing. We have an adventure line. We have a business line. We have a women's line. We have shirts that are fairly unisex. So it's a full line of tops and bottoms for you to see the world more securely.
So the shirts have money belts built in them also?
Well, the shirts have hidden pockets, so it's more or less we're trying to seamlessly increase the carryability of your garment.
What I'm seeing from the garments here is that you don't see by looking at these garments that they would be garments that would have all kinds of little hidden nooks and crannies. So the idea is that people who are looking at you, that you're not making yourself a target.
Yeah, Mark, that's exactly what we're going for. It's urban wear meets outerwear. So you're very astute in noticing that it doesn't really look any different than your standard hiking pants. In fact, it's going to look better and be more tailored. So it's going to be something that can take you to the bar, that can also take you up the side of the mountain. So it does double duty. It's not just made for the travel. It's a garment that's going to slowly sneak its way into your everyday life.
And something that looks like it's easily washable and stuff, so it would rewear well on the road.
Easy care. Wash it in the sink while you're traveling. Wash it in a machine. Hang dry it. Wash dry it in a machine. It's about upgrading your travel wear and giving you options. It's not going to be anything that prevents you from wearing it often and for years to come on many travels.
Adam Rapp, pickpocket-proof clothing. Go to travelguysradio.com and we will have a link to the website. I'm standing here looking at it. And if you are an international traveler, particularly if you're an adventure traveler, clothing arts, rethinking the art of clothing design. Thank you, Adam, for a couple minutes of your time today.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
And one of the things that you're going to need is those pickpocket shorts. You know, I mean, it's one thing you got the cargo pants and you're hiking and you're in the city. But what about if you want to go to, let's say, Tahiti?
Tom, back at the New York Times Travel Show, and my guest is Kristen Carlson. Kristen is with Tahiti Tourism North America, and she's here at the New York Times Travel Show promoting, you told me, 118
islands?
Right, 118
islands and atolls make up the islands of Tahiti.
Now, for Americans to visit Tahiti, particularly folks, it's a little easier for folks from the West Coast. We're here on the East Coast, but of course, we're talking to listeners in Sacramento, California, so it's a little easier for us. We can take a quick hop to Los Angeles and get on Air Tahiti Nui and head right out to the islands. Tell me a little bit, for folks, Tahiti is one of those destinations, I think, Kristen, that people have always talked about wanting to go to. It's one of those bucket list places, but I'm sure for a lot of people, they wouldn't know how to get there or how to even get started with planning a trip to Tahiti, besides maybe Googling Tahiti on the computer. Help us get started.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you are totally right in that the islands of Tahiti are just 8 hours from L.A., and and there are actually lots of convenient connections throughout the entire U.S., so you can still get there very easily. And, you know, perhaps if you're interested in going to the islands of Tahiti, check out our website, tahititourism.com. Although if you have a trusted professional travel advisor, we'd recommend that. They're wonderful tour operators as well, with lots of Tahiti product and expertise. You can plan it yourself. It's not always the easiest destination to plan yourself, because certainly with some of those inner island transfers and air, you want to make sure you make your plane to that remote island. So again, for the not so experienced person for travel, I would really recommend you reach out to your travel advisor. And if you don't have one, you can go on our website, put in your zip code, find one nearby, or just find anyone.
You'll help folks find
absolutely
to get to Tahiti. And you bring up a good point, Kristen. I've been to Tahiti once myself, and the discussion with Tahiti is really, do you go there and try to negotiate the islands individually? Do you go and stay on one island, or perhaps do you go and take a cruise, which limits the amount of time that you can stay on each island, but does give you an opportunity to see more. So I always kind of tell folks, if you've never been to Tahiti before, that perhaps a cruise is a good option, shows you a lot of different places, and then you can pick out your favorite when you go back the second time. Is that a good philosophy?
That's a wonderful philosophy. I actually love cruising. I worked for a cruise line for many, many years, and I just think it's a wonderful way to experience all the different islands. And like you said, you could either do a pre or post on that first trip, but then yes, absolutely, come back another time and spend some more time in a different island. And for instance, a lot of us have heard of Tahiti, Moorea, Bora Bora. Those are high volcanic islands with gorgeous lagoons, but they do have the lush interiors. Then there's a whole type of other experience called the Tuamotu Atolls, and these are low-lying coral atolls, and they have a different topography, a different feel, a different pace of life. So there's really something for everyone. And then of course the Marquesas in the north that are extremely dramatic and not like anything elsewhere in Tahiti.
Wow, there's a lot of variety, and Tahiti is only about, how far is Tahiti air-wise from Los Angeles? About 6 hours?
8 hours.
So it's Tahiti is closer, if you live on the West Coast, Tahiti is closer than Europe.
It is, and closer than the Caribbean.
The other thing that I remember from my visit to Tahiti is how interesting not only the people, but the culture there, especially folks who have been to Hawaii. If you enjoyed the culture in Hawaii, this is like taking a step back in time before Hawaii.
You are exactly right. You're really spot on with a lot of this information here today. And that's one thing we'd really like to show people in North America, is the culture and the generosity of the people in Tahiti. You know, so often you just see the overwater bungalow and the beautiful lagoon, but there's really much more to delve into the culture behind that.
Kristen Carlson, Director of Marketing for Tahiti Tourism, thank you for your time today. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Hope to welcome you to the islands.
We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. Follow us, by the way, at travelguysradio.com. You'll find links to all of our interviews for today. So if you want to find out more, simply go to travelguysradio.com. Coming up after a short break, Patty Culp of the Alabama Travel Council sat down with Mark to tell the story of a visit to her home state. And from civil rights history to the beginnings of the space program in Huntsville and the spectacular white sand beaches of the Alabama Gulf Coast. It's coming up next, right here on The Travel Guys. The Travel Guys on the radio, KFBK, every Sunday at 3 o'clock, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark's at the New York Times Travel Fair, and we're going to jump back to an interview that Mark did a little bit. Well, actually, he picked this one up while he was at the... Well, Mark's been traveling so many different places, it's hard to keep track of. Well, never mind. Let's just check it out.
Thomas, I'm here with Patty Culp, who is the Executive Director of the Alabama Travel Council. And we're here in New Orleans for the National Tour Association Convention, and Patty is here to talk to me a little bit about Alabama. Of course, Sports Leisure Vacations is planning a visit to Alabama this spring, so that's a little bit about what this is about. But I thought, Patty, this would give us a chance to tell folks a little bit about what there is to see and do in Alabama. Sports Leisure has a trip that plans to visit Huntsville and the greater Montgomery area and Selma area, and then go down to the Alabama Gulf Coast. Let's tell folks a little bit about some of the things in Alabama. In Huntsville, for example, I don't know that everybody knows that the the space program virtually got its start in Huntsville and that there still is a huge space center there. Tell us a little bit about Huntsville, Alabama.
Huntsville is a very historic city as well as an upwardly moving city. As a matter of fact, one of their slogans is Stone Age to Space Age. They cover civil rights, they cover antebellum homes, they cover the Space and Rocket Center. They have a gorgeous botanical garden. You can do tours all day long of just about anything you want to see, whether it's space related or antebellum home related, or, gardens.
Would you say, Al, that Huntsville is maybe a kind of the Alabama combination of the old and the new?
Absolutely, absolutely. And like you said, with the Space and Rocket Center there, the kids can go to space camp, the adults can go to space camp. You can see the shuttles, you can see all of the goings and the doings of the space era. And then, like I said, you can go to Twickenham District and see how people lived 125 years ago or 150 years ago.
In the Huntsville area, there is a very unique hardware store that I was told about. And our group is going to stop there, but I didn't get a chance to go there. Tell me a little bit about it.
Harrison Brothers takes you back 100 years. I mean, it takes you back to the Civil War. I mean, literally, you walk in the door and it's like somebody just literally, you know, put it on hold. You can find things that you can't find anywhere else. Now, it is a gift shop as well, but the fun thing about Harrison Brothers is that when you walk in the door, you look around and think, I cannot believe this still looks like this 100 years later.
This is like a 5 and 9 from 100 years ago.
Yes, yes. It's a hardware store from 100 years ago.
Wow, that's cool. Just down the road from Huntsville, as you head south, is Tuskegee and Birmingham first. Mm-hmm. And then Tuskegee and the Montgomery-Selma area. In Tuskegee, there's been a lot more public awareness on the Tuskegee area. Tell me a little bit about what's there.
I think that it's taken a long time, but the Tuskegee Airmen have come into their own. They made a movie about the Tuskegee
yep.
Airmen. It was a very sad movie. I mean, it was a tear-jerking movie to realize that human beings had to go through that ridicule in serving in our nation, in the service. But they have, it's called Moton Field, and it's a tribute to those men, those African Americans that served in our Air Force that made great strides within our wars, and it's a tribute to them. And then at Tuskegee University, there is a museum for George Washington Carver, and it's one of my favorite museums in the whole state. I know that seems so strange, but that man was so unique, and he did so many things that as just a dirt farmer.
Uh-huh.
He was brilliant, and when you leave there, you think, how could that man have come up with from mayonnaise to peanut butter? He used the land is what he did.
There's in the central part of the state, you find Birmingham and Selma. Of course, there's a movie out now about Selma, and I personally have not seen it yet. Saw the trailer. But there's a civil rights story there. How do people in Alabama feel about people from other parts of the country coming to Alabama to, quote, learn the civil rights story? How do they feel about that?
Well, we're thrilled. I mean, it is our history. It's our heritage. That's what we do in tourism. I mean, we promote our heritage. We promote the fact that the civil rights movement began in Montgomery, Alabama. And it was, the walk between Selma and Montgomery is famous. It's infamous as well. But, I mean, we're proud of it. We're proud that people want to know what the history is all about of the civil rights movement, because we have come, made great strides. And but it is something we accept, and we promote. I mean, we sell that culture, we sell that heritage.
Our group is going to be in Alabama in the springtime, and they tell me that if you're going to go to Alabama, that the springtime is the best time to go because of the azaleas. Is that true?
Absolutely. April and May, the azaleas start blooming in February, but they're not gorgeous. All the flowers, I mean, like at Bellingrath, I mean, you're going to see every flower in bloom by April. March, March can be a little cool, but not bad. But by the time you get into April, all the flowers are in bloom, and it's just a magnificent area to see.
Tom, our guest is Patty Culp. Patty is the executive director of the Alabama Travel Council, and we're talking about some of the things that you could see and do if you were to take a journey to the great state of Alabama, particularly in the springtime when the flowers are blooming. Patty, I don't know that a lot of people in Sacramento would know that Alabama has a coastline. I don't think we think of Alabama as a coastal city, but indeed there is a part of Alabama that is on the Gulf Coast. I have never been there. Tell me about it.
Gulf Shores and Orange Beach is our beach area. It's 13 miles of pristine beach. It's sugar white beach. It's just magnificent. I mean, people are shocked when they realize that Alabama is on the beach, and that's probably our largest attraction when you get right down to it. Orange Beach, Gulf Shores, hotels and restaurants and all that. I mean, you know, everything that a tourist would want to do and see, but not overrun like some of the beach areas are.
And I'm guessing maybe just from what I've found about the hotel prices down on Alabama's Gulf Coast, that folks, the prices there are a little bit more reasonable than you might find in a big hotel in on either side in New Orleans or perhaps in Florida, that the Alabama Gulf Coast is a very affordable place to visit.
Absolutely. I mean, you can find rates from you know, $89 to $129 that would normally run $149 to $229. Yeah, the rates are very good, and the restaurants are very reasonable, and it's a great place to come and see the Sugar White Beaches.
Tell me a little bit about the community of Fairhope. I've heard a lot about it. Our group is going to stay there a couple nights. Everybody I talk to says, oh, Fairhope, you go to Alabama, you have to go to Fairhope. I had never heard of it until a few months ago. What's special about Fairhope, Alabama?
Well, I remember you telling me, Mark, that your folks liked to go to quaint little places and wander on their own and enjoy the ambiance of a small town.
Yeah, that's us.
And Fairhope, I mean, the second you said that to me, I knew that you had to go to Fairhope. Fairhope is probably a 6-square-block area of just quaint shops, restaurants, things to see, things to do, a museum. They have a cute little art museum. They have... I think the thing that's cool about it, I think the thing that's the neatest about it, is that everybody is so friendly. I mean, you don't have to buy a thing. I mean, they love it when you wander around and they talk to you. The little gift owner, you know, the gift shop owners and the boutique owners, I mean, they want to know who you are and where you're from and why you're there. And I promise you, you will not be sorry that you're going to spend 2 nights in Fairhope, Alabama.
Is there anything before we go, Patty, that we haven't mentioned about Alabama that you would like to tell our listeners?
I think that the one thing that we sell about Alabama is our hospitality. I mean, our people really do care about your people that are on the tour and our visitors that come to see us. We have so much of a variety in the state. I mean, you know, from civil rights to civil war to space, you know, to new technology with the University of Alabama at Birmingham. I mean, that's a world-renowned hospital, teaching hospital. I just think that people don't realize what the variety and the beauty and what all we have to offer.
For folks who are looking, who think they've been everywhere and haven't been to Alabama, then I'll suggest to you that you haven't been everywhere. Go to travelguysradio.com, our website. There you'll find some links to the Alabama Travel Council and to the Sports Leisure Vacations Tour that is going there this spring in case you're looking for an organized group to go with. If what we've been talking about sounds like fun to you, why then we can make that happen for you. But Patty, thank you so much for sharing a little bit with us about Alabama, and we'll be there soon. You won't have to say y'all come back now because we'll be there.
That's great. Thank you, and y'all come.
And for those who heard me stumble into the introduction of this, Mark got this interview at the National Tour Association meeting earlier in the week. Mark, great interview. Great interview. Let's talk about where you are right now, Key Largo and the Florida Keys. Yeah. What's going on?
I think they wrote a song about this, Sailing Away in Key Largo. And indeed, if you've never been to the Florida Keys, it's really a different environment for Californians because the Keys are kind of an island environment and connected by, you know, there's one road in and one road out. So it's kind of an interesting a place to visit. It's not an inexpensive place as far as vacation destinations, but it's not particularly expensive either. So it's kind of fun and a little funky, and we're headed after tonight down to Key West for 4 nights with a stop at the Turtle Hospital here where they save turtles and all kinds of neat, interesting, the Hemingway House and Harry Truman's little White House is down in Key West. So there's no shortage of things to do, and we're going to eat our way through the Florida Keys as we're at the Fish House in Key Largo right now, which is a very renowned place having a wonderful fish dinner.
Well, did you say the Turtle Hospital?
the Turtle Hospital. That's right, where they save and bring turtles back into their natural environment.
Now these are the large turtles, right?
Great big turtles. Yes, sir. You betcha.
Awesome.
All right.
Well,
so
okay.
Next week.
Yes.
Next week I'm coming home. Will that be all right with you?
Hey, that'll be great. Love to see you in the studio. I want to see how much weight you've gained from eating your way across Florida.
All right. Well, listen, we need to remind people that all the links to all the interviews that we talked about today can be found at travelguysradio.com. Links to the interviews, links to the people, links to the places they talked about. There's a lot of information, even the pickpocket-proof pants are there at travelguysradio.com. And I should tell you that our winner for this week, our Travel Guys winner, is Ann Daly. And the jackpot is $100. If you call the Sports Leisure Vacations office Monday or Tuesday, you will win that in a travel gift card.
Awesome, Mark. We'll look to see you here next week, same time. We are the Travel Guys every Sunday, 3 to 4 o'clock, right here on KFBK. You have yourself a fabulous week. A little bit of sunshine, hopefully less fog, and by golly, one of these days, maybe, Mark, bring us back some rain, would you?
I would love to do that, Thomas. I'll hook some to the airplane on the way home.
Perfect. All right. We're the Travel Guys. Everybody stay well. See you next week. That first cold winter together.